Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019, as we're going to review Monday Night Raw that aired last night in Nashville, Tennessee. And lots of positives. Of course, your critiques are definitely on the way. And just ultimately some weird stuff. A lot of just kind of like weird segments. And I don't know whether they're good or bad, but we'll get to those, of course, in just a couple of minutes. And tomorrow, I'll be here with a co-host discussing wrestling nostalgia, where we're going to go through HBK versus John Cena. And I don't believe I've ever spoken about that on this show. So one of the better matches, best matches I've seen at WrestleMania. And we're going to get to that with none other than co-host Anthony DeMarco right here tomorrow night, as Wrestling Nostalgia returns. And then Thursday is your AEW and Friday is your NXT review. Those usually simultaneously drop around the same time. So sometimes it's late Thursday, early Thursday into Friday morning. Just depends on when the file is ready and good to be uploaded. So keep that in mind as you continue down the line here with the show. And we hope that you will be become a fan of the show, and you can also become a patron of the show, and you can do that by getting on the patreon.com feed / WWE podcast. What's available to you there is a completely ad-free experience, no ads on any of the shows, and tons and tons and tons of other goodies on there, exclusive content and exclusive blogs and getting on the show, doing your own podcast, lots of other cool deal things. So check that out, of course, at patreon.com/ WWE podcast. Now, before I get to Monday Night Raw, some newer news than Raw, yes. Seth Rollins appeared on WWE backstage, and CM Punk did not take up the offer to meet with Seth Rollins on the show. So either this is Punk being Punk, where he does not actually want to get involved in any kind of angle or storyline, or this is an actual storyline that is just slowly developing, and it's perceived that Punk doesn't actually want to come on the show, and when in reality this is just a part of the story. So that remains to be seen. Seth Rollins continues to call out Punk on a regularly, fairly consistent basis, and one would have to believe that if indeed there was no indication or signal sent from Punk that he would be interested in a match with Seth Rollins, that Vince McMahon would tell Seth to back off, and that he would say, "Hey, Seth, hit the brakes, because I don't think we'll be able to deliver on this match." Seth Rollins apparently last Monday night, when they held the town hall with Seth Rollins, apparently Vince McMahon was extremely heated over Seth Rollins bringing up and addressing the CM Punk chance. Now, whether that was a work in and of itself remains to be seen. I think maybe we're overthinking this. It's a possibility, and maybe I'm working myself, but it is interesting to note that Seth just continues to keep this alive and continues to pursue CM Punk on a face-to-face confrontation, and CM Punk just continues to avoid the situation. But again, maybe that's the story. So it remains to be seen as we draw closer to WrestleMania. All right, well, let's get to Monday Night Raw. And overall, I would say before I get into the details and go segment by segment here, I thought overall the show was a thumbs in the middle to slightly thumbs up, slightly. And that's I might be a little bit too generous on that, probably because I'm sitting here with a beer and maybe the beer is making me feel good. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is I came away from Raw feeling as a whole okay to slightly good. So I'm going to give that a slightly thumbs up show. There were certainly segments that just continued to head scratch, including the Lana segment that is, she seems to be regressing on the mic every week, not progressing. It's getting weirder and weirder on the mic. I don't know if it's her tempo or her choice of words. I'm not really sure what's happening with Lana and her miscues on the mic. They just seem to be just off a beat, and we'll get into that segment, but that was a segment that I kind of got into a little, and then it got pulled back, and then into a little, and then I was off put by some of the commentary, and even the Kevin Owens segment with Lana. And when I talk about the Lana and Kevin Owens segment, that's the segment I'm referring to. And then it got to Bobby Lashley and Lana getting arrested. It was kind of circa 1998 with Jerry Briscoe, Pat Patterson, and Vince McMahon being arrested, rather than having them arrest Austin. It felt a lot like that, and it's been 21 years, so I'm fine with it. It just brought a flashback to me. And boy, those are some awful police officers or detectives or whatever they are with their dollar store badges that they stuck on. I'm telling you, those are from the dollar store. You know how I know that those badges were from the dollar store? Because my brother, who's an actual police officer, bought those on his own when he graduated from the academy, and bought those as a joke to pass around to people. That is, and those are fake badges. I mean, just a little note of a detail there. But the way they acted, all right, well, we'll get into that. And we're going to get into that too. But some of the highlights I enjoyed was Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. That to me was probably the highlight of the show. And they are seemingly doing a lot more with Randy Orton than anyone expected. You know, especially at this point in his career, he was almost an afterthought on SmackDown, where he just kind of lived and hid on SmackDown for the longest time, and would pop up every now and then and again and into a relevant feud, maybe challenge for a championship, but ultimately you know he's not going to win, and because of just his placement in the company at this point and not having to put that responsibility on a veteran guy that doesn't frankly need the belt. So that's where Randy Orton has lived and been hiding. And then he pops up again, and now he's in a somewhat of a program with Drew McIntyre, although that seemed to be cooled down after the OC interrupted. And, you know, we'll get into detail on that, but I'm just giving you some overview, some high level thoughts that I really, really enjoyed Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton's interactions. And their promo to me was the highlight of the whole damn show. So we'll dissect that and grind it down to a fine powder as we move along here. So those are some of just a couple of things I liked, a couple of things I didn't. And let's dive into it. All right. So at the beginning of Raw, we had a AOP arriving segment to the arena in a black van. Charlotte Caruso tries to interview them, but they didn't have much to say, and they enter the arena. And I don't know if it's WWE's overuse of heels that talk in a different language, so it's supposed to annoy us strategy. Someone needs to cool it with that. I don't understand the reasoning for it, other than it's annoying. We can't hear what they're saying, but at the same time, it's being done so much that it takes you out of the moment and you tune out because you go, I don't even know what they're saying, so I don't care. And it pulls you away rather than go, oh, these guys are annoying, I don't understand what they're saying, that makes me angry at them and hate their character. That's not a good strategy for heel heat. That's just groaning and going, how am I supposed to get into the story if they can't even tell me they're part of the story? And that WWE is using the old and tired formula, an overused formula of, hey, let them talk in their native language, that'll piss the crowd off. Well, yeah, it does, but not in the way that you're looking for. So it's overused with them, and it's Asuka and Kairi Sane who have now jumped on that bandwagon, among others. I don't know. It's just a trend I'm seeing as of late. So anyway, Seth Rollins comes out to the ring and kicks off the show, and he wants to apologize to the entire locker room. Kevin Owens comes out, and Owens says that he smells BS, and literally says BS, but the full version of it, and asks that if he had something to do with the AOP attack last week, and Rollins denies it. Owens says that he can tell Rollins is lying because his lips are moving, and then AOP come out to interrupt. AOP get on the mic and say something again in a foreign language, and then they challenge Owens and Rollins to a tag team match, at which Owens says he doesn't want to walk into a trap because he believes that Rollins is really going to turn on him and it'll be a 3-on-1 beatdown. And Rollins says he tried, he walks up the ramp and leaves. And then AOP also leave. So Owens says he's out there, he wants someone to fight, and at this point he gets Bobby Lashley and Lana shown backstage walking through the hallways, assuming that they're going to come out. I mean, how would you know that they're going to come out? Boy, WWE just happened to get that one lucky, right? I don't know. Again, I may be digging too deep into this kind of stuff, but if Bobby Lashley had said something backstage and the camera, you know, he grabbed the camera and said, I think you found yourself a challenger, and then he came out. But to have WWE cameras just assume that's where Bobby Lashley was walking, how do the cameras know that that's what he's doing? Why was there a camera on him? I mean, so some of this production stuff, and again, it's pro wrestling, and maybe I'm looking at this with too critical of an eye, but when you break it down, it's just, I don't know. Moving on, because I'm sure none of you care, right? Some of you just, oh my God, it's just, he's nitpicking, but I look at these things with a critical eye because partly I do this for part of my living, and also because I want a good story told and I don't want to be taken out of the moment. I want to live in this fantasy world. This is our escape. And when I see things like this production-wise that can be easily fixed, it's just lazy. It's just lazy. Anyway. So it is luckily Bobby Lashley coming to the ring. Otherwise that would have been a very pointless segment of a camera focusing on Bobby Lashley walking down the hallway with Lana. So Lana's music hits though, and she comes out and Owens looks disappointed, and Lana and Owens start arguing. This is where things break down. Lana informs everyone that Rusev isn't here tonight and she knows Owens doesn't care. But the fans do, and she filed a restraining order against him again. Now, if I'm not mistaken, last week she also had a restraining order against him, of which he violated, and then took out Bobby Lashley. And shouldn't have Lana said that he's in jail for violating the restraining order? Typically, that's what happens. You violate a restraining order, you go to jail. So apparently that restraining order meant absolutely nothing last week. So we had another one this week because she says that Rusev is a danger to everyone and that if he shows up tonight, he's going to go to jail for a very long time. Owens interrupts and says that he's never heard someone say so much or talk so much and yet say so little. So they get in this really awkward bickering, and it didn't really suit either person. It never gelled and flowed well, especially Lana and her incessant need to just talk over Owens and go all basic, you know what, on him. And it just didn't flow. And there's no congruity to it. It was just kind of shouting over each other. And as good as Owens is, even he couldn't really save this. I mean, So Owens says that Lana says thinks she's so important and beautiful, but that she's a repulsive person on the inside. And Lana then talks more trash and says her boyfriend's going to finish him. I don't know. So Lashley comes out and here we go. We get a Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens match. And security guards come out to ringside for Lana. Again, I believe they were detectives though. Although they certainly didn't look like it. They looked again like your local wrestlers that just get a job for the night and are play security guard or play policeman. Again, you can always tell the difference between an authentic and a make-believe. And this was a make-believe time. This was Alice in Wonderland time. So Bobby Lashley versus Kevin Owens. I mean, the match was fine. It was somewhat quick. This was really about setting up AOP coming to the ring. So what happened was Owens hit a pop-up powerbomb on Lashley. Both men are down. AOP start walking down the ramp. And then beat down Owens and ref calls for the bell. By the way, I really love AOP here. I loved them last week. I love them this week. As much as I may be critiquing the language barrier that's supposed to be getting heel heat, but is actually an annoyance, not in a good way, I do love their look. I love their demeanor. They have a very unique presence on TV. They have a hell of a future here in WWE, I think. I know that it's that's a lot to say for them being in this new role for what, the last couple of months, you know, and only back on TV in terms of an in-ring capacity for what, a couple of weeks. So I have a good feeling about these two, and I hope it's not Vince McMahon's flavor of the week and that there's actually some kind of plan for these two. They could be the heavies for a good heel. And I think that heel is Seth Rollins. As much as they are beating around the bush on that, I think the payoff will come at TLC when Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins inevitably have their match. So I think that's where we're headed, where the true complete heel turn will happen at TLC. But again, I'm praising AOP here for their look, demeanor, confidence, and feeling like they belong. And, you know, I really also have to praise Seth Rollins, although I don't know where they're going with this. He still feels more natural in this on the way to being a full heel path. He's, you know, he hasn't made the full turn. He as a character, what they're trying to do is place him in a position of no blame, that none of this is my fault. I'm always trying to do the right thing, and everyone else is to blame instead of taking a look in the mirror and taking responsibility. That's the regressive trait that you give a heel. And I think that they are doing well with that. Rollins feels more interesting than he ever has as a babyface. And that's not saying a whole lot, because him as a babyface never felt right anyway. But him as this failed babyface, now on his way to being a heel, still feels right. He feels more relevant. I actually look forward to hearing what he has to say and what blame he can place on somebody else, or what he thinks he's doing right as the leader and not trusting him. And there's a lot here. There's more depth here. The payoff's coming and I'm on board. As much as I still would have loved to have seen Seth Rollins in a capacity of no capacity, meaning taking like 2 months off, this is the next best option. So I'm on board with this. And I ultimately do believe it will lead to AOP backing Seth Rollins and going full heel. I'm very interested to see that faction. I think they're a very, very good fit, all three. All right. So the winner again on that match was Kevin Owens by DQ. Rusev showed up, beat down Lashley for about 20 seconds. Lana gets all out of her mind, and then Rusev leaves, apparently not in jail, but we'll find out next week after she files another restraining order in which nobody enforces it. And furthermore, so Lashley and Lana start talking down to these detectives or security guards or whatever these individuals are, and it's talking about how if they did their job, you were supposed to protect me from Rusev attacking me or attacking Bobby. And then Bobby bumps into one of them, and one of them says, like, well, that's not how we do things here in Tennessee. Well, how do you do things? If someone has a restraining order and you see the perpetrator coming towards the person who's holding the restraining order, how do you do things? Tell me. It didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I just wasn't sure what that meant. And then they instantly put the cuffs on Bobby Lashley after he bumps into them. And I guess you could say, oh, he put his hands on a police officer or a detective, that's why he's going to jail. I mean, kind of a loose way of putting your hands on again, if we're supposed to believe that they're police officers, a bit of a loose way to get him handcuffed. But then Lana purposefully slaps one in the face and she goes to jail too. So I guess I would assume that all three are probably in jail, but I don't know. This is a segment that the crowd's booing because it's bad, not booing because you're doing a great job as heels. That's the difference. And Lana addressing the boos are really addressing the fans' dissatisfaction with the angle, not with the, you're doing a great job, that's why we're booing you, we don't like your character, we want to see you get beat up. No, that's not what this is. So, okay. Moving on, as Lana shouts she's going to sue the world, Drew McIntyre versus Akira Tozawa. Now, I thought this is a very good match. This is also one of the better matches of the night, because it wasn't a complete squash, as I envisioned it possibly being. They gave Akira Tozawa some some shine. They gave him time to get a little bit of offense, a couple of quick hope spots, showcase his speed, which they let you know right up front is one of his biggest attributes. And I just love the way that they also showcase Drew McIntyre here as the guy that's completely overpowering Kira Tozawa, and as it should have been. The Claymore kick that he hit was just like a missile. It was a Mack truck sell by Akira Tozawa. So for what it was, I enjoyed it. It was good. And after the match, Drew stays in the ring. He gets on the mic and says that was fun. And this is where he calls out Randy Orton, because he says he gets right to the point. He doesn't hide on social media. And this is where Orton comes out to the ring. And initially, Orton turns his back on Drew. Drew cuts a promo on Orton, and Drew says that Orton walks around here like he owns the place, but says Orton is only vicious on Twitter now and not in the ring. And Drew says he's the most ferocious star in WWE now, and that he and the Claymore kick are happening now, and Orton and the RKO are the past. Orton calls out Drew now and says he hasn't earned anything, and he's going to fix Drew's problem right now, and they come face to face. That's where the OC interrupts. Gallows, Anderson, and Styles talk some trash about Orton ruining AJ's life. And then Drew says that this doesn't have anything to do with him, so he just leaves and walks past the OC up the ramp. So this, to me, though, before the OC came out, I really am intrigued by this potential matchup. They seem to have a real chemistry with one another. I have been a Drew McIntyre fan of his return since day one, since he came back to WWE. Just, this guy screams star. This guy screams awesome heel champion. And they just continue to build him, and then ultimately lose the big one. They just can't have that turning, the key turn moment, turnkey moment for Drew McIntyre. So him feuding with Orton, I think, is a step in the right direction. It certainly keeps him relevant. It certainly keeps Randy Orton relevant. You could argue that Randy Orton needs Drew McIntyre just as much, or maybe more, as Drew McIntyre needs Randy Orton. Because Randy Orton, again, just kind of floats out there. He's just kind of this floater. He doesn't ever have a solid long-term program. He's this guy you just plug and play. And Drew McIntyre, again, has not been in a super relevant top-tier program in quite a while, and having him paired with Randy Orton is, I think, a great fit for both men. So I'm interested to hear the promos they have on each other. Again, if this is a program that's going to happen after TLC, or if it's something that happens at TLC, very unlikely considering that there's only about a week left, week or so, until the TLC pay-per-view. And then, obviously, you build to the Rumble. So, yeah, I'm not sure exactly where they're going to go, but clearly Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre is a program that's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am. It's Drew McIntyre is a guy that needs to be utilized way, way, way more on Raw than he is at the moment. So anyway, all right, moving down the line here. After this, we got Tony Nese and Aleister Black. Aleister Black wins. He hit Black Mass, and that's that. I mean, I don't know what more you really want to say about Aleister Black other than they're just continuing to have him win. Then we got Eric Young versus Andrade. Andrade wins. Again, did you really expect Eric Young to win? I mean, Zelina Vega was outside again, and it was a relatively quick match. There's not a whole lot of fanfare here, and was just kind of your standard, yeah, these guys are still here, let's put the guy over that should win, and it was Andrade. Moving down the line here, let's see, Eric Rowan again, No Way Jose, and Eric Rowan wins, and he leaves with his pet cage with the cover still on it. I would assume that will be revealed at TLC, whatever it may be. I don't even honestly take a whole lot of time to think about it. If any of you have ideas, hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast, by the way. All right, then we got Charlotte versus Kairi Sane and Asuka. This was a good match, one that Charlotte apparently asked for, and I think that's a good thing to disseminate why this handicap match happened and not just have it happen. I think handicap matches happen way too often and are not explained and are just handed out too easily. But if Charlotte insisted on it, then I'm okay with it. And Charlotte did come with it an eyelash of defeating the team when she hit her double spear. Asuka kicked out. I like how they're also referencing the fact that Charlotte defeated Asuka at WrestleMania and broke her streak. That's important. That needs to be remembered. And I think people have forgotten about it, including myself. And when I say forgotten about it, it's just not something that you think about with these two. You think about just, you know, maybe that Charlotte beat Asuka the SmackDown before WrestleMania last year for the Women's Championship. But you look at this and I'm glad that they're reminding you. That's something that should be reminded of. And that's how you utilize and make the most of a decision of that magnitude is to continually use it in the program that these two previously had. So Asuka and Kairi Sane won after the insane elbow when Charlotte was applying the figure eight to Asuka. It was a great segment. I enjoyed this match a lot. I really did. Viking Raiders win against Mark Sterling and Mitchell Lyons. Again, is a squash match. Not much to say. Let's see here. We got Humberto Carrillo, Rey Mysterio, and Ricochet versus the OC. So, the OC end up winning this one, and I think they should have. It was a very good match. I enjoyed this too. So, you know, when I'm you know, critiquing Raw, it's usually for the storyline extracurricular crap. This was a heavy wrestling heavy show. It wasn't light on the wrestling, and I like that. Typically, those are the matches or the programs and the shows that I rate higher. Are the shows that have a lot of wrestling and a lot less backstage and nonsensical garbage or bad attempts at comedy. So this match was very good. I think it lasted just under 15 minutes. The OC won after AJ reversed Ricochet's Hurricane Rana off the top rope into a Styles Clash off the middle rope for the three count. So the OC win. I think the OC needed this win because they're an established team. As Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, and Humberto are really on separate paths, just brought together for the night as a team, the OC are an established, well-known, world-renowned team. And to have them get the win here, I think was very important. I think it was important for the OC to get back a little bit of credibility after constantly getting beaten. I mean, really, week after week, and especially during the invasion with NXT, they were consistently being beat down. It just wasn't a good look. So I'd like to see this winning continue for the OC. But after the match, Orton hit the ring and hit an RKO out of nowhere on AJ Styles. And then Orton gets up on the turnbuckle and poses as Raw goes off the air. So, you know, when I say a slight thumbs up, it's because of the wrestling. The wrestling saved this otherwise questionable Lana segment that just continues to drag down Raw. And honestly, even Kevin Owens being beat down and dragged out by AOP, I didn't mind that, but his back and forth with Lana, I thought that damaged KO a little bit. And Lana just, unfortunately, she may be nice to look at, but there's something she's just missing in her promos. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's confidence, I don't know if it's cadence, I don't know if it's material, I don't know if it's all of the above, but whatever it is, Lana needs more of it. She needs something, maybe slow down, I don't know, maybe have somebody just, you know, go over her promos with her word for word. I don't know what it is, but I know as fans always clamoring, oh, the promos are too scripted. And yet at the same time, when someone gets sent out loose, you know, without a word for word promo, sometimes they sink and don't swim, but that's the nature of the business. I'd rather have that than scripted promos. But again, I just don't know what it is. And it just felt unnatural with Kevin Owens. It felt kind of like a high school fight between these two, between, you know, the popular girl and the everyday man. And it just, I don't know. It really took Raw down for me, but you know, seeing them get arrested didn't make a whole lot of sense. Seeing how Rusev is not arrested already doesn't make sense. How those security guys or police officers or detectives didn't arrest Owens and said they do things differently, whatever the hell that means, because there's only one way to do a restraining order. One way. There's one, no matter where you go. It's having so whoever you're putting a restraining order against can't come within X amount of feet of you. If they do, they go to jail. End of story. So I don't know what this other way is. I would love to know. That really took it down for me. I'm ready for this whole thing to be over. I can't believe we're still talking about it. I would just like to see this Rusev-Bobby Lashley match end, and I think it will at TLC. It has to. TLC is a great way to end it, if there is a great way, because it would end in a chairs or tables or ladders match, as it should, and end it there, and the crowd can just go, thank God this is over, but I don't know where they go from there. I really just don't. Maybe it's for the marriage of Lana, or whoever wins gets Lana, but do you really want to be married to somebody because they have to be married to you? I don't know. Just food for thought on that. So overall, guys, I mean, I enjoyed Monday Night Raw. Just not a lot because of some of the things that just don't make sense. And Seth Rollins being a little wishy-washy is interesting to me. Again, Seth Rollins was the big takeaway, too. He's not full heel. He's still in denial. I'm the good guy and I'm the victim here. Mentality where he's taking everyone else down and saying that we all sucked and trying to be the locker room leader and all that kind of stuff, and people don't trust him. So he's on his way and a path to being a heel. So that's interesting to me. I think, again, the full term will come at TLC, which again is only a week away, which is insane. But there's a huge gap between now and now and Royal Rumble, which I believe is not until the third or fourth week of January. So that'll be a while. It'll give you a 4 or 5 week build to the Rumble, which I love. Rumble's one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year. As long as we don't get a woman entering a man's competition, right? I mean, maybe she was identifying as a man and when she came out. I don't know. But my God, that's a whole political conversation that I don't need to have right now because I will lose listeners. But maybe that's what she did. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, look, she came out. She somehow you just can attack somebody and take their spot. That's apparently how you can just enter the Rumble. You don't even have to be officially in it to just be, you know, an a-hole about it, attack somebody from behind and just take their spot. And you can eliminate people after you've been eliminated. It's just some of these things with the Rumble. Just they'll never die. Never die. It's going to happen every year. And I just have kind of chalked it up to just F it. Whatever. It's pro wrestling. It's Vince McMahon's entertainment. I don't know. It's just moving on. All right. But guys, let me know what you thought about Monday Night Raw. I'm interested to hear your thoughts at the WWE podcast, or email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Very interested to hear what your thoughts are on the Rumble on Monday Night Raw from Nashville. You know, between Aleister Black, who's kind of sitting there literally a lot of times, and you know, what's in Eric Rowan's cage. I don't know. CM Punk and Seth Rollins, do you think it'll ever happen? That's a good question. A whole talking point for an entire show, I think. If CM Punk and Seth Rollins will happen. But hell, why don't I answer that right now? Quickly, I won't do a ton of time on it. Do I think Seth Rollins and CM Punk will ever happen? The answer, yes, I do. Because Seth Rollins continues to push for it, and the office would say, hey, back off if he didn't. At least give a hint that he was open to it. And I think it would be a good combination. Once Seth is fully heel, and he's made the full turn, the fans will eat Seth alive against CM Punk. And I think that would be a great, combination to work with. And yes, they had some interaction when they were in the Shield, but that was eons ago, and there was never that one-on-one with Seth. Seth can work with anybody. He's relatively safe outside of buckle bombs, right? Don't let him give anybody a buckle bomb. He'll end their career. But CM Punk, I think, would be a nice matchup for Seth, and maybe that's where they're headed at WrestleMania, but we'll see. Rumors. Let's talk a little bit about rumors swirling around the wrestling world. In terms of WWE, right now, as the rumor stands, Brock Lesnar and Tyson Fury are tentatively scheduled for WrestleMania. Good God Almighty, no. Please. I don't need Tyson Fury ever again in my ring. I don't think he fit. He picked up the business pretty quickly, but I'm not clamoring to see Tyson Fury again. I'm not like, oh my God, that'd be so cool to see him against, you know, whoever. I understand the size is there. I understand there's some intrigue and some from a visual perspective of Tyson Fury versus Brock Lesnar. I don't think that's a big story there. I just don't, and I could be proven wrong. I don't know. If that's the plan, I mean, it's going to be a whole lot of talk in about 6 minutes of action at WrestleMania, and I think that's going to be it. But maybe that is. Maybe I'll change my tune, but as it stands right now, I have just no interest in that. I just don't. So, interesting, too, Becky Lynch was not on the show, on the main show. She competed in a dark match, by the way, and at Raw, but was not in the main show. So that was a interesting to note type of thing. I don't know if that really means anything is wrong with Becky. It's just that they didn't put her on the show, and I'm okay with that. I really am. I don't need to see everyone every week. I don't. That goes for anybody, not just because she's a woman. My God, I love Becky Lynch. I hope, you know, I love what she does, and what she has accomplished is insane. So my point is, anybody, I don't need to see champions every week. It's okay if you take a few weeks off. It really is. And let's see what else is going on here. We have the next guest on Steve Austin's show is Goldberg on Broken Skull Sessions. I'd enjoy that. I think Goldberg would be a good guest, and I don't know if he'll address the lovely match with The Undertaker. I hope they'll probably cover it in a very brief stint. I don't think they'll go into detail about it, but that will be an interesting conversation nonetheless. Goldberg has been on Stone Cold's podcast before, so you know, you can go and listen to that, of course. But face-to-face, I'm looking forward. I like this Broken Skull Sessions thing. I know it's only one episode in, with Undertaker being the first, but there's a lot of potential here. I'm enjoying it. So let's see here. Rolling down the line with some other rumors about Brock Lesnar and who his next opponent could be. Apparently, Brock is not scheduled to compete until the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which is at the end of January. And that's not really surprising. Is anybody really surprised about that? I'm not. I'm not. I have no interest in seeing champions every single week. And also, furthermore, don't forget, the holiday season, which is right now, is traditionally and cyclically a low point in ratings, viewership, and a low point in creative. So if you see a synonymous reaction of both, that's normal. I'm not expecting WWE to pump out 5-star Raws in the next month. I'm just not. To me, things ramp up after the ball drops on New Year's Eve. That is when the next Raw after that, whatever that date may be, and let me look at it here as I pull up a calendar. When is that Raw? Let's see. So, January 6th, 2020. That Monday Night Raw, I expect to be rocking. The holidays are over. It's football. Super Bowl's around the corner. It's the dead of winter. It's Rumble season. And then you're getting right into WrestleMania. So January 6th is a date on your calendar as wrestling fans that we should circle and go, this is when Raw is going to be hot. This is when you will see the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania cards start to be formulated, shall we say. I expect big names to be on that show. I'm not talking about, oh, Stone Cold's coming back, The Rock's coming back. I'm just talking about it should be an all hands on deck situation for the current roster. I expect Brock to probably be there to promote whatever match he's going to have at the Rumble against whomever. I don't know who Brock's going to face yet next. Could it be Rey Mysterio again? Maybe, but I don't know. I just don't know who Brock's going to be facing as WWE champion. But if that's the case, he probably is not in the Royal Rumble. So So again, that would be a date that I would circle. So for the next 1, 2, 3, 4 Raws, we just kind of have to chalk it up to, well, TLC's there. You know, the creative's not going to be great. Let's just get to the new year, get to Rumble, and let's do this thing. So anyway, just a bit of a history lesson for those of you that may be new wrestling fans. Don't expect a whole lot in December. Just don't. I mean, so that's just kind of the way it is. Alrighty, well, guys, thank you for joining me. I really enjoy doing this. I think that I covered the majority of Raw, and I would love your guys' feedback. And don't forget, I'll be back tomorrow with Wrestling Nostalgia covering HBK versus John Cena at WrestleMania, and that'll be with co-host Anthony DeMarco as we cover that awesome match and program. And then, of course, AEW, NXT reviews, and your weekend review on Saturday comes your way as well. So lots and lots to get to as we head on down the week. And there's no downturn here on this show. There may be a downturn in WWE creative and ratings. Not here. As we dig out from 2 feet of snow. Yes, literally 2 feet of snow here. It was hell digging out my car in the morning. I mean, I've been up here all my life. I have never had to dig out my car like that. Never. It was just insanity. So, those of you that are in a warmer climate, F you. I mean, seriously, I'm so jealous. And if I could travel to a warmer climate right now, I would. But family and work kind of keep me here. So, all right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And thanks for all the compliments and feedback. You guys are awesome. As we continue to creep closer and closer to that top 10 in iTunes wrestling category, we cracked 12 for the first time the other day. And that was the first. We went from 13 to 12 and then back down to 15. I mean, we're consistently in the 15 range. And I'd love to crack that top 10. And I know we can do it. I know we can. So, guys, thank you so much. Tell a friend about us. It'll help spread the word. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.